The epistle appointed to be read for this, the 19th Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. Brethren, be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which has been created according to God in justice and holiness of truth. Wherefore, put away lying and speak truth each one with his neighbor, because we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your anger. Do not give place to the devil. He who was wont to steal, let him steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands at what is good, that he may have something to share with him who suffers need. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, Jesus spoke to the chief priests and the Pharisees in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a king who made a marriage feast for his son. And he sent his servants to call in those invited to the marriage feast, but they would not come. Again he sent out other servants, saying, 'Tell those who are invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatlings are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the marriage feast.' But they made light of it and went off, one to his farm and another to his business, and the rest laid hold of his servants, treated them shamefully, and killed them. But when the king heard of it, he was angry, and he sent his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burnt their city. Then he said to his servants, 'The marriage feast indeed is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Go therefore to the crossroads, and invite to the marriage feast whomever you shall find.' And his servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad, and the marriage feast was filled with guests. Now the king went in to see the guests, and he saw there a man who had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, 'Friend, how didst thou come in here without a wedding garment?' But he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, 'Bind his hands and feet, and cast him forth into the darkness outside, where there will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.'" Thus for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. My beloved people, the underlining thing this morning, it's a shame that so many people are missing this morning, but the underlying thing that I wish to bring to your attention this morning is that we, of necessity, have had to postpone the ordination to the subdiaconate and confirmation, which were scheduled for next Saturday and Sunday. Because of the fact that Bishop Kenna is sick. Now, there's one thing that I failed to include in the bulletin when I use the word sick, and right away when people hear that, they think the worst. Please, it's a pretty bad case of bronchitis is what it really is, and the doctors ordered him to stay home. And so I did the same thing. I told him, stay where you belong. And of course, I don't expect him to be obedient, but at least I'm trying. Because he is, as I told Sister, whom I talked to, he is a little hard-headed. But in any event, let's pray for our bishop and ask Almighty God to protect him always and to keep him strong no matter what. We will announce, as soon as I find out when he is able to move about again, I will announce in the bulletin in plenty of time when we will have confirmation. Next Sunday, of course, is the Feast of Christ the King, and Christ the King, of course, is our patronal title, the patronal title of our monastery. We will have benediction after the 10 o'clock Mass next Sunday. And All Souls Day envelopes are due as soon as possible before really next week, because we are upon November already. I already am announcing that All Saints Day is a holy day of obligation and that we have to attend Mass on that day. All Souls Day is not a holy day of obligation. We're having to transfer it this year to Monday, because All Souls Day falls on a Sunday this year, and of course we cannot commemorate that on a Sunday, so it is moved to the following day. And we hope to have a procession to the cemetery on that day, if weather permits, and it will be at 2:30, according to what is in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and Son, and Holy Ghost, Amen. My beloved people, next Sunday is Christ the King. And this is eminently important, not so much, which of course it nevertheless is, not so much because it is our patronal feast, but because the kingship of Christ is, or rather I should say should be, it really isn't, but it should be the focal point of everything that we hold important. The trouble with things is that if we look at our culture, if we look at our society, if we look at our government, if we look at our education or whatever else, and if we look at our religion, we will find that in all of these areas, or each of these areas, has been so dumbed down that anyone who wants to today can get away with anything he wishes. Where is morality today? Where is honesty today? Where is love today? Where is reverence today? And yet, if we go to each of these areas that I have just outlined, just mentioned, whether it is politics, or culture, or society, or religion, which I put last but underlined the most, we hear the hawkers of untruth. We hear the hawkers of untruth preaching from the housetops an optimism that everything is absolutely wonderful. And if you see anything wrong, it isn't, the problem is not in your culture. The problem is not in society. The problem is not in your religion. The problem is with you. Because you fail to see that really and truly everything is all right. And what you need to do is to turn loose. What you need to do is to relax, leave things alone, and things will attend to themselves. This is what we've been hearing now for about 30 years, 40 years, haven't we? And so, we've left things to themselves. And look at our culture, look at our society. Look at our education, look at our children. Look at our convents, look at our monasteries. Look at our religion, look at our seminaries. Yes, Almighty God does say, you want to handle it yourself or yourselves? That's fine, go right ahead. Do it. Do it yourselves. If you think everything is going to be just fine, do it yourselves. And so we hear, I'm going to have to correct this in myself. Because I've used this expression, and it's amazing how quickly people attach themselves to it. It seems to give courage in the wrong way. And I myself have used this expression, and I will alter it in the future. And that is the expression, do not be afraid. You see, optimism militates against the virtue of hope. And if I keep telling myself and keep preaching to myself that everything really is all right, and if I leave things alone long enough that they will adjust themselves, therefore I don't need any outside help, leave it be. I keep telling myself that, and as a consequence, little by little, I lose the feeling of the necessity to trust in my God. I don't need to trust in Him because I can handle things on my own. And things will be all right eventually. And so we don't trust. And this in turn, since we no longer trust, no longer have the feeling of a need, this has affected our prayer life. What is the condition of our prayer life? What do we think prayer life really is? Just simply a, hi God, everything's okay, I'm okay, you're okay, Everybody's okay. Everybody's fine. Hi, God. My beloved people, is that prayer life? We speak of it being dumbed down. We can speak of it being trashed down to the point of where there is nothing left in us that bespeaks of a reverence that can only be called upon in our dealings with God. And jumping up and down and hollering and shouting and everything else and rolling around and giving into the Spirit and all this other thing that we hear tell of today as being prayer, it's no wonder that God has closed his ears to mankind. It is no wonder. But we feel no obligation. We've come to trust upon our own abilities and therefore we feel no obligation to another realm. If Christ is not King in our hearts, our hearts will not approve of a void. Somebody has to be King in our hearts. If it isn't Christ, then who? And in too many cases today, the then who, we know who it is. And he's very quickly ready to move in upon us and take charge. Once upon a time, to enter into one of our churches, the minute you opened the door, you could smell reverence. The very air in that room was the air of reverence. And when you walked in there, you saw right quickly the focal point of reverence. Today, you walk into those same rooms and you feel emptiness. And you look for him. You can't find him. And we call that religion. Christ. My beloved people, where is he? He's not just a buddy that I met on the street, and the two of us are just little comrades, and that we can treat him any which way you want to, and you can get away with it. Can't do that. Just because Jesus Christ came to this earth and took on the form of man, did not make him my buddy. Did not make him equal to me. He is God Almighty. How dare me walk in to the throne room and act the way I act? I am not the one to determine how to act in the presence of the King. And as we were told in today's gospel, my hands and feet shall be bound, and I shall be cast out into the exterior darkness. The trouble with things today is that we no longer look upon hell as the exterior darkness, but rather we look upon hell as being a rather nice place. Well, some of us from somewhere are going to find out how nice the place is, no doubt. But for us, my beloved people, you may come from the highways and the byways, but you are at the wedding feast. And as we prepare ourselves during these next few days before next Sunday, which we should prepare ourselves, let us go into our hearts. Let us honestly and sincerely look into our hearts to see if that throne room is as it should be. Let's see how much trash is in there. Let's clean it up before next week. And let us never fail each day to remind our blessed Lord that he is our King. Let us not look to the sinfulness of the individual here and the individual there and the individual elsewhere, but let us look at the entire structure, which once upon a time, the individual sinner here and the individual sinner there and the individual sinner some other place, there was a structure there that had strength. And each of these individuals could find something to hold on to in their desperation. But now all of this has crumbled. It is no longer there. It appears to be there. And we perceive it to be there. But it's not. And as a consequence, we go off in despair. And we think that in our despair, Almighty God will overlook our plight, our problem, and that He will automatically forgive. God will not automatically forgive. Let's, in conclusion, which I've got to quit because time's running out on me. It ran out a few minutes ago. My beloved people, let's just for 1 second look back and let us think for 1 second at what we would today look upon as something very insignificant. All that Adam and Eve did, as far as the eye can tell, is to take a bite out of an apple. And as a consequence of that extremely insignificant little bit of nothingness, look at what has resulted just from that one little bite out of that one little apple. And here I come, gloriously beautiful in all that I am, and I can do anything I want to. I can commit every sin in the book, which I have, and as a consequence, I look upon God and expect Him to pat me on the head and say, "You're a nice little boy. You really didn't mean to do these things." Then if He can pat me on the head for having broken every commandment that He's ever made, I wonder why God did not pat Adam and Eve on their heads and tell them that they were a good little boy and a good little girl and that they didn't mean what they did. How is it that I can expect it for me and He does not give it to me? Yet, and He did not give it to Adam and Eve. It doesn't make sense, does it, people? Does it? May the kingship of Christ reign in your hearts and our hearts forever and ever. Amen. My beloved people.